guys, welcome back to another episode of Validated by Victoria. I am super stoked to have Alexa Curtis in here in the Zoom. I'm actually in literally Barbados in a restaurant. I had like crappy Wi-Fi. No, my Wi-Fi is good, but I'm really excited to have Alexa here and let's like get rolling. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Like, tell us about your journey, how you started your blog, a life in the fashion lane, right?
Yeah, no, I'm so excited and I'm so jealous I'm not in such a warm climate. So everyone take note of how amazing she looks and go buy a ticket somewhere warm. But I started a fashion blog back in 2011 when I was 12, and I built it out into this lifestyle platform for young adults. So now it's called Life Unfiltered with Alexa. And then through that was the host of a show on Radio Disney called Fearless Every Day. And ultimately left Disney to pursue this College Summit company that was just acquired by a company that I'm now currently the co-founder of called Grasshopper. So it's a lot to do with women mentorship and career development. And so that's the focus right now. But I still do a ton of talks about being fearless and how to get out of your comfort zone and everything like that.
Oh, that's awesome. I was reading your bio and I know you just mentioned Radio Disney. I mean, back in the day, I used to listen to that. Like, it was my jam. And is Radio Disney still around?
No. So actually about like 7 months after I left, Radio Disney closed down that part of Disney, but it was so nostalgic. I mean, we filmed on the Disney lot, like it was right there. So it did ultimately close down, but it was an incredible experience.
That is amazing. I like always wanted to be on Radio Disney, and like anytime they always have like these really cool contests to like get backstage and see the Jonas Brothers or something like that. And I was always trying to call in. I remember literally listening to Radio Disney religiously. That was like my jam back in the day. So when I saw that, like when I got your bio, I was like, oh my gosh, like that is so freaking cool. So that is, I mean, that's one of the ultimate things, but I definitely want to get into talking about Grasshopper and the Be Fearless Summit. I saw that like on your Instagram when I was like looking you up. I was like, all right, this is Alexa. And I saw that in your bio. Can you tell us like more about your partnership between like Be Fearless Summit and Grasshopper and like the whole model of that?
Yeah. So when I left Disney, actually, when I was still at Disney, I was working on Be Fearless Summit. So I had this idea just to put together this one day College Summit in 2018. I didn't really have any expectations for it and ended up just calling a bunch of people I knew from Disney and guests who were on the show and pitched it to Drexel University and was like, would you guys be interested in having this kind of event? I had never put on an event like that. And the ball kind of began to start rolling after that event. It was a huge undertaking, but I realized that there was a potential market to not only get large sponsors involved, but also the colleges. And so from that, we hosted four more summits: UC Berkeley, Drexel, Vanderbilt, and then most recently the University of Connecticut and another state school called Central Connecticut State University. And then I met and was introduced to in Austin my now co-founder Heather, and she had started Grasshopper. And so I decided to kind of let them take on Grasshopper, and her and I build out this membership program that we've been working on. So there's events virtually and in Austin and a huge career hub that we're building out behind the scenes. So you can in the next near future be able to get in touch with recruiters and submit your resume and whatnot.
Oh, that's sick. So yeah. where did the like Be Fearless come from? Like, what was your like in your head? Like, I'm going to start this.
I have no idea. And I don't know if that's just an entrepreneur thing, but the name of the Disney show is called Fearless Every Day. So I had kind of coined that term, be fearless and get out of your comfort zone. And then I remember for a year, I emailed people. They all said no to the idea. I was like, this summit is a dumb idea. I wouldn't make any money anyway. And when I casually ran into someone and was introduced to someone from Drexel, that's when I pitched it to them in person. And she immediately was like, oh yeah, that's a great idea. So for that year, I was like, oh, this is just an idea. There's nothing more than that. So I don't know if I would have let the rejection get to me if I hadn't met her, but because of the whole Fearless brand and Be Fearless Summit, I just put it together like that, but it really was off the cuff. There was no planning behind it.
I feel like that's been like some people's like greatest like business models or inventions. It was always something like you didn't really put overthink it or put too much thought into the whole thing. You're like, I'm just gonna do it. And then that's when something grows exponentially. Like for me with like modeling and Instagram and all that, I was just like, okay, I don't really have technically a step plan. And like everyone's like, what's your strategy with this? And I'm like, I don't know, I don't really think about it. I'm just gonna do it and see if people like it and then see if people like me. And then it just grew from there. And everyone like comes to me, like I have my own like marketing agency and they're like, hey, what's the plan? Like, you know, what's the strategy? And like, how can you, I mean, obviously there is a plan and you also like, you have to know what your focus is going in. But I think sometimes the best things in life aren't all like completely planned out, sometimes just spontaneous, and that it just kind of comes naturally to you, especially when you're in a field where leadership positions, speaking about mental health and advocating for, you know, those sensitive topics, it just kind of comes naturally for you. And I've been like looking more into it. It's just amazing all that you have done. But what has been like your most meaningful experience from like all those engagements and speaking at colleges and stuff?
Oh, that's a great question. I think there's been a lot of small things along the way. There's also been a lot of moments of such like severe rejection and being so sick of entrepreneurship totally. And then I didn't give up because of some like weird thing that happened. So that was, I mean, there's probably one story that I think probably in the scheme of like rejection that I would tell any aspiring entrepreneur to look at the story and really not give up because it is so hard to run your own business. But I had pitched a show. I was living in Boston to a pretty big production company in LA. I flew out there. I thought they were going to, I was like 16, 17 at the time. I thought they were going to give me like this TV show following around young entrepreneurs. And I just got completely, I can't remember what the word is, but like put down by this producer. And it was in Burbank. And I just remember like I sat across the stairs and I cried and I did not do anything relating to the blog for like a month. I don't even know how I paid my rent. I was so sick of it. And then after about a month, I just kind of got back into it. And then those exact stairs are where that I went and cried are actually where Fearless Every Day, the Radio Disney show, was filmed about 3.5 years later. And I just, when I look at that story, I'm like, oh, wow, if I had given up, I would never have gotten that show. I would have no idea that that was even a possibility. So that definitely stands out to me.
Speaking of rejection, I mean, people are like, oh, you've gotten so much. But I guess a lot of people don't understand that anybody who's successful or starting their own business or getting into some sort of industry is going to have a massive amount of rejection. I've been told no so many times. And I felt like once I was getting into even just the entertainment industry, any kind of industry, honestly, I was putting my foot in, the rejection was massive. And that's something I didn't really think about. Like, what is your advice like for anyone going through rejection? Because obviously you're crying on the stairs 1 minute and then crying happy tears the next. So I feel like not all rejection is bad. Rejection is just a redirection. So do you have like any advice on like dealing with rejection?
I love that. And I bet you can relate in that sense, because especially in modeling and entertainment, I mean, no successful model that I know or that I've even read about online has gotten anywhere without such tremendous rejection.
That's true.
I mean, probably cliche to say the more it happens, the more you kind of get in your stride of letting it redirect you. But I also am a big fan of kind of having my toes dipped, and especially when I was starting the blog, in a lot of different things. So if I were to be rejected for, you know, a TV show that I pitched, okay, I still have the website, or I still can work with brands on social media. And I think because of that, I never just pigeonholed myself into, I want to be a TV personality or I want to be a Disney host. And so when I got rejected from one thing, I had a podcast as well for quite a while. I could get accepted by a great guest, them coming on the show or something like that. And I think that really helped me not get so stuck on the rejection. Otherwise, you just sit there and you're like, why me?
Yeah, I feel like those questions always come up. Like, you're always like, why me? But sometimes it's not you. It's just, it may not have anything to do with you. It's just not, that's not where you're supposed to be. So I'm a big belief proponent and fate, karma, all of that, like a big believer in all of that, and that what's right for you and what's meant for to be, like, you won't receive that rejection. You won't feel confused. So I feel like whenever you get told no, I've had to learn this a lot, whenever you get rejected, told no, or like, oh, you're not good enough for this. And then it's time, okay, like I said, turn your rejection into redirection. And I'm like, okay, obviously, if that was meant for me, it would have happened. So now I need to go this way and see if this works for me. And you got to just keep trying so many things. And I think that's why a lot of people give up, because you're like, I've been rejected like 20 times. I'm like, girl, I've been rejected like 120 times. I think a lot of just, you know, we don't ever want to talk about rejection, because rejection's like, you know, I talk about it, like, not negative in a sense. I used to think of it completely negative, and now I'm just like, kind of motivates me more. If someone's like, no, and then I'm like, all right, I'm going to do bigger and better. And then if someone's like, no, I'm going to keep getting bigger and better. So I feel like over the years, rejection really has helped me grow more. Because it gives me that fire. I don't know if you're the same. It just kind of gives me that fire under my belt. Like, I'm going to go do this. I'm going to be bigger and better. I'm going to prove them wrong. Whatever your motivation is after rejection, I really think for me, it helps me get better.
I agree 100%. Again, it's that term you said so perfectly. Rejection is redirection, right? If you can change your mindset to think of it like that, then it's easier to not take it so seriously.
Yeah. I mean, it's the truth. And I still get messages with people like, how do you deal with all this? And I'm like, it took a minute. It's not something that magically happens. You're like, oh, I can deal with all kinds of rejection. It really takes time, and it takes knowing yourself. And I'm entering a new decade in my life, and I still feel like I have a lot to learn about myself, and a lot to grasp about life. But I think, you know, every year, new year and every birthday that comes up, my birthday was last week. That's why I'm talking about my birthday. But every new birthday that comes up and every new year, it's just like a new journey and a new way to find yourself and grow bigger and better. So that is my piece on rejection. But happy, it's funny. I just think that's funny. You talk about how you're like on the stairs crying in one moment, and in the next moment you're on the same stairs crying tears of joy. Because I've been there. I've been like so defeated and like my apartment when I was living there, and then I remember getting the call for like Sports Illustrated swimsuit, like jumping for like screaming for joy and screaming with tears. So you can be in the same place and receive bigger and better things. So what made you like really want to focus on talking about like mental health and social media? I mean, it's a hard topic to talk about, because I love social media, but I do feel like it's a double-edged sword for relationships, for just life, because you end up starting comparing yourself, and it might be, I've had this happen, the end of relationships, but also it's a beautiful thing to connect to everybody. So how do you find balance in that, and how do you tell others to find balance in that?
It's so hard, and I think of it as kind of two different obstacles. When I started realizing, and specifically when I was doing a lot of these school discussions and realizing how negatively it was impacting young people, is when I started realizing that to discuss that more and the authenticity behind talking about rejection and pursuing your own ideas. And that's something we talk a lot about in Grasshopper. I mean, it's totally industry agnostic. So we don't just have entrepreneurs apart. It's mostly, you know, post-college, entering your first job, that kind of thing. And so we talk a lot about being open with not getting that job, or where to also find side hustles. And I think that's also really helped me know there's that kind of community there of young people, young working professionals who struggle with the rejection in different ways. And then personally, it's always kind of a struggle. I mean, quite frankly, I really don't enjoy the social media side of it. I think initially I did, but now I take it in a different light. And so I find like the in-person events, the summits, that I like a lot more than posting on social media. And I don't know if you can relate to that, but I think the older you get as well, the more I'm like, I don't know that I want like my boyfriend on my Instagram. It just feels too like open. There's no secrecy.
Yeah. I mean, I will say like transparent and real. I think that is something that's super important, because a lot of people show, and I think that's why like social media was getting like a bad rep at first, because people were truly just showing like their perfect side of their life instead of the real side of your life. And then you have like young teenagers, young kids, like even adults, like looking at that saying like, dang, I'm not good enough. When in all actuality, they may be struggling at home or struggling financially, but everyone's just, you know, showing this beautiful side of life instead of the real part. And I really love how social media has transitioned to be like, okay, now you see people just being real and being vulnerable on social media. But I also think there is a certain amount of privacy you should have. And sometimes people overshare. So we went from sharing just the perfect points in life to like oversharing. And I think now I used to overshare a lot, I will say. And now I'm to the point where I'm like, there's just some things you don't have to tell the whole world, and some things you just kind of need to deal with on your own. And some like sacred relationships, whether boyfriend, husband, like all of that, like you don't have to post. I feel like now there's like pressure to be like, we need to post everything and be like super transparent, or you just post all the perfect points in your life. And for me, like, I feel like social media, like I'm enjoying this whole time in Barbados, and like my phone died yesterday, and honestly, like, I had the best day ever because I wasn't looking at my phone, I wasn't checking on social media. So I think I'm starting to detach more from it and just live life without a phone, because sometimes I've been like so into it. I remember I'm like, man, my screen time's like 8 hours a day, and I'm like, that I can't do that anymore. That was bad. So I really had cut back from that. But now I'm like, I'm cut back even more and just be like dark for periods of time and come back. Because I mean, what's more important is your mental health and living life and experiencing life and enjoying life. And you don't have to enjoy it through social media. That's my opinion now. And that's how I'm starting to see things. But I do think social media is a great thing. You just can't, you know, you can be addicted to some things. And I was starting to get there, and I'm glad I'm starting to find that balance.
It's so nice to hear such a role model and someone who is so prominent on social media say that. And I think that's like great that you say that to your audience, because people don't realize, they see just the highlight reel and the good photos, and to be able to inspire people that also your phone can die, and you're not going to die just because your phone dies.
And I used to be that way. I'm not gonna lie. I used to be like, someone like panic, like someone find me a charger right now, like freak out. Like it was like my phone was just like an appendage to me. And now, I mean, I literally had the best day I've had in a long time. Yesterday, my phone died. I didn't have a charger. I don't know anyone here. And just was on a boat dancing, like talking, meeting new people out here on the island. I'm like, honestly, this is what life's about. Just kind of being disconnected. And that human interaction is what we lack sometimes.
Sure, I agree. And I think that is what life's about. And that's why it's like this double-edged sword of, it's so great in so many ways, but then the reality is like, it should just be a tool. It doesn't need to be used as your lifeline.
No. I even talk to mega influencers, and they're like the same way. People are like, man, they must be on their phone the whole time, or they must be doing this. I mean, I have seen some people who are like glued to their phone, and I like look at that from the outside looking, I'm like, I don't want to be like that. And I've seen a lot of unhappiness in the industry, even big influencers, and I'm like, man, they have so much to be grateful for. But sometimes you just get so connected and you start comparing yourself. And that's something like that I really had to learn. And like, people even compare their stuff to me. They'll send me a message of, I'm so jealous of this. And I'm like, well, honey, you don't know how I'm going through this. Like, I mean, there's a lot that you don't see on social media. But I love doing this podcast, because we talk about like everything from like dating to social media to career to mental health to everything. And it's like my time to be like, hey, this isn't my transparent, this is real, this is me. But yeah, I love being disconnected now. I think that's my new favorite thing. But I like you said, it's a double-edged sword. Like, social media's been great. I've been able to start my own company, like do my own things because of social media. So I don't want to hate on it so much. But like, it's just anything in life. You don't need to be addicted to anything, and you don't need to have excess of anything, because that, you know, even when you overindulge in something, it's not good for you. So that's where I feel like I'm figuring out a good balance.
The balance is just all you can get away with. Otherwise, there, as long as you can find some type of balance to where you don't hate yourself when you're on it, then I think you're in a good place for anyone. Yeah.
Do you remember when like Instagram would go down and people would freak out, or like when TikTok was getting banned, people were freaking out? Yeah. And from the outside, like, I was thinking to myself, oh no, I'm going to lose all of this. But I forget to realize, like, I went to law school, I went and did this, that. And then I saw how like other friends are like kind of freaking out a bit, because that's their sole income. And that's when I started making the transition. I'm like, I'm going to do, obviously, I love my social media presence. I love my brand deals. I love the brands I work with. I love my friends, love my followers. But that's when I was like, I think it's always important to have something else going on in your life so you don't focus on one thing. And I think that's in any, I don't know, I'm not sure how you feel about this, but I think that's anywhere in life where I feel like you should have multiple streams of income. I learned that during COVID too. Like that was something I'm like, I didn't think about this earlier, but when, especially when Instagram went dark one day and TikTok was getting banned, who knows what's going to happen with TikTok now, but having like your feet in a lot of multiple things and multiple streams of income is important. I preach that to like everyone, like all my friends. I'm like, you, okay, that's great. You have one thing, but I think it's important to have multiple things.
It is also because, and I think that's like the double-edged negative side of the social media game is that so many of these young kids think, oh, I can follow an Addison Rae. I'm going to post one video and then I'm set for the rest of my life. And I have so many personal thoughts on how negative, like awful that is to think that way. But I think that's what people rely on this for. So when I also know people who say that, I mean, having a website, having a podcast, is really great to have, because otherwise you're just an Instagrammer, you're just a TikToker, right? Like I don't look at someone with a million followers who just posts on Instagram as a successful business person. Because so much of that is luck, right? A video blows up or you're really attractive or whatever. It's how can they take that and make it into a product that's not just about themselves off the social media pages.
Yeah. I think it's crazy like how some people had like one TikTok video grow and now they're like overnight celebrity. I mean, even that happened like with one hit wonders and like overnight celebrity. But again, it's like almost, I feel like 8 times out of 10, it is a one hit wonder. And they think, people think, oh, I'm set for life. And I'm like, that's where I'm like, that's where I used to think. I'm like, man, I want to be like that and I'm set. But that's not completely true. I mean, those influencers, I mean, I've met the mega influencers. They have their struggles and they go through a lot too. And they also have multiple streams of income. You see these celebrities making like makeup brands and stuff. So that's why I'm like, take note. Like they're not just focusing or relying on that. They're doing multiple other things. And it's good. I think that's where the good part of social media comes from, is once you blow up, like don't think that's the end all be all. Use that and go do other things. Go help, first of all, help other people with it. And then second of all, you know, make other businesses from it. And that's where I've seen the really successful entrepreneurs coming. I'm like, that girl is smart. She gained a million followers, started a swimsuit company, or he got 32 million followers, one of my friends, and now he's starting like a music academy. So like stuff like that. I'm like, okay, that's where you start picking and choosing. These are the influencers you want to be influenced by. And this is how you should do social media, is once you grow, turn it into good things. So I feel like that's my spiel on social media, because people ask me a lot, like, how are you just doing social media right now? And I'm like, well, I have my feet wet in a lot of different things. No pun intended, because I'm here in Barbados. So Barbados is the ocean.
No, it's such a new career path. Like even to my parents, it's still doesn't make any sense. It's like blogging and podcasting and TV, and they understand the TV stuff, but everything else. So to the outside, my biggest pet peeve is when someone is like, I just don't get how you make money. And I just ask, like, do you ask any actor? Like, do you ask any author? Would you ask any television host? Like, how do they make, like, I just find that question, I guess maybe I should switch my mindset. But I just like, I make money how anyone else makes money. The only difference is it's all on me. Like I have to find the time and like interest to work with a brand or to do it. I don't sit at a desk and get a paycheck.
No. Yeah. I mean, with social media, first of all, you don't have job security. And I get that question. My dad is old school. He's like, I don't understand all this. Like my dad was always like, get a real job. I've had people, ex-boyfriends, like get a real job. Like all this. And I'm like, okay, this is a real job. It's honestly the best anyone can compare to is just marketing. Like you're making ads, you're creating ads, you're advertising, you're always selling, you're pitching yourself to brands. So it's just like, you're your own little marketing company is your social media. But a lot of people just see it as getting attention, which I mean, it is part of the truth. Like part of the truth is we like the attention, of course, but anyone does. But it also is being savvy and marketing yourself right. And everyone feels like they can do influencing. And I've had some friends who started and they're like, I can't keep up. This is a lot. Because it's not a, it's not like, oh, you're going to the office from 9 to 5. This is like 24/7 jobs.
Yeah, it's so different in that way. Because, and again, it's all on you to pay the bills, to even if you have X amount of followers. I mean, it's like still very, it's not like a well-oiled machine. It's such a new thing. So it's not like you can, one day you can't find a company or no one's reached out to you, right, to work with. There's no book. Oh, okay, I'm not making any money for this week. Let me go find 15 people to email. I mean, you really have to constantly be working on it.
It's in, even when I'm here, like right now, I'm still like working on stuff. Like it just, it never ends. But also I think the beauty, like we said, a lot of negatives and a lot of positives of social media, but I do find the positives in it. And it has helped me find like some of my closest friends and, has helped myself grow, increase my platform. Cause I feel like a lot of us, there's a lot more people out there who have amazing stories to tell. And if they just had the platform, a lot more people would be helped and find like, hey, that's my role model. And but I feel like we're starting to see that more, especially with TikTok. I feel like it's easy for people now to find people they connect with. And that's why I love social media. And you're using it to, you know, help your grow your summit and grow your podcast. You have a podcast too, right?
I haven't done it in a bit. I got a little bit burnt out from it, but I did it for about like 2.5-3 years through the Disney show. Grasshopper is gonna relaunch and start a new podcast in the summer, so would love to have you on that. It'll be a bit like shorter form content, but if I do the podcast, I'll probably do it like that again, just because I got kind of burnt out doing it on my own, to be honest.
Yeah. What's the podcast going to be about? Like you're relaunching with Grasshopper.
Yeah. So I guess what we're going to do is retake my old one, cause it still has a lot of listens monthly, and rebrand that to be fully focused on career, how to land your dream job, how to pivot. So the podcast I had that was called The New Unfiltered, it was talking to entrepreneurs and pretty successful executives. So it'll be similar to that. It'll just be shorter. So a lot less of the back and forth, more just like getting to the point. And then part of that will also be circulated into a blog post and whatnot from Grasshopper. So that I'm looking forward to, because awesome. It's different than what I was doing with it before.
What, like, who is like an entrepreneur that you interviewed that you're like, oh my gosh, this is incredible?
Okay, so I had on Andy Pudicombe, who's the founder of Headspace, Allison Kay, who's Justin Bieber's manager, and Scooter Braun Projects. She's the second partner at SB. I've had on the guy from Breaking Bad. I can never remember his name, but his wife, Lauren, started a nonprofit, and she's amazing. Kat Sadler, she used to be on E! News. I've interviewed, oh gosh, trying to think, 183 people. That was only like 5 of them. Raina Penchansky. Yeah. She's the partner at DBA Architects, Digital Brand Architects. They were the first influencer agency. So they rep like the Skinny Confidential, Kat Sadler. Wow. So a bunch of people in that area.
What do you think, like, they're, because you're obviously focused on like career advice and like growing as an entrepreneur, like what do you think their common theme was, like after interviewing 183
people? Wow. That's actually part of why I stopped it, is I felt like I was hitting this wall. Like I'm hosting these conversations and they're inspiring, but I'm not really learning anything. But I mean, common themes, I mean the rejection was always such a common theme, and even talking to them and becoming friends with them when the camera would turn off, I mean, the stories were just, I would want to give up from those stories. I think also the pivoting, a lot of people look at very successful people and it's like, oh, he woke up and he started Headspace, or he started this app and it just built from there. I never really interviewed anyone who was not an influencer, you know, true authentic entrepreneurs. None of them ever had that idea and it just built from there. It was always like, I started something and it failed and that led me to start this and now I'm a billionaire kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really inspiring.
I just always think it's so cool. Like I've had quite a few friends who have like massive businesses, and even my dad, when he built his massive business, like he went through rejection, and then all of a sudden something hit and then it just like boom, came out of nowhere. But I think where people miss is as soon as something hit, you got to keep the momentum going.
Yeah,
and that's exactly. Even with like social media too, like once you get that viral video, it's not like you can stop and be like, hey, I'm a celebrity now. You got to keep rolling with it, because that was my problem first on TikTok, is like I stopped and then it was like all the traction failed. And I think it's even, maybe you can touch on this, like with social career and your average career, if you want to say, or your entrepreneurial spirit, like once you get that, you got to keep going with it, you got to roll on it and just focus on that so you grow it into something exponentially big.
Totally. Agreed. I find that a lot with social too. That's honestly what gives me the most anxiety, but I think I have to remind myself that, like, you know, if you don't want to post for a week, they want your money, right? They want the views, they want the followers. So it's not, they're not like Instagram, TikTok is not sitting there like, oh, Victoria's taking a week off, like let's continue her traction. They're like, okay, fuck this. Like we're on to the next person. And I think that's also kind of that like scary cycle of like, if I don't post for a week, am I going to lose everything? But I think that's what I remember is like, there's so much more than just TikTok and Instagram, right? Yeah. Like I don't make a living solely off of TikTok and Instagram. So if I take a week off, okay. Like they don't love that I'm taking a week off, but like, who are they? Right. I don't know who's coming up with the algorithm behind these platforms. So I remind myself that.
I mean, I do think there is truth to that. Like you can take a week off and then still come back and start doing the same thing. I don't think there's any shame of a break. And that's what I've started doing more often is taking more breaks, like for my mental health, one, and two, I just don't want to be so attached or so addicted to anything in this point in my life anymore. And I just want to be happy for just being me, and like I can be cut off from everything and still be happy. And that's something I think is truly important for myself. It might not be for other people, but I do think happiness within yourself needs to be the first thing of importance before anything else happens in your life.
Agreed. That's so important. Your mental health and your happiness and what really fulfills you.
That's true. Well, we're going to kind of shut things down here and go to a close, and I'm probably going to go swim with some turtles in a little bit. But what's next for you? And what advice do you have for anyone like who's listening, wanting maybe so get into social media or anything career-wise, entrepreneurial-wise?
So what's next? So with Grasshopper, so we launched this membership in September. We're about to start a fundraise and in the next 2 weeks, and then also do part of it through this platform called iFundWomen. So if you like Grasshopper, definitely subscribe to the newsletter, follow the pages, and stay in touch with kind of the other members. I think that's really cool. And my goal, I think, with it is just to really, I mean, it's so new and out of my comfort zone compared to what I've done in the past 10 years. I think also having interns and like teams of them and a business partner, I think just personally growing a lot through it and becoming okay with just whatever happens with it. But, you know, giving, I think, myself more credit that, like, again, it is okay to take a week off, or like, it is okay if you can't reply to every message or whatever, nothing's going to happen. I think that's a really mature way to look at entrepreneurship and social media.
Yeah, that's awesome. So if they want to follow your journey on social media, Alexa_Curtis.
Yeah.
And then the Grasshopper is just at Grasshopper.
Grasshopper with two P's. So it's Grasshopper and then her.
Her. Ah, I love that. I love it. This is awesome. Well, I'm excited to follow you and your journey. And guys, I hope you have learned a lot, and definitely follow Grasshopper. I love that. I didn't really realize that at first. And now I'm like looking at it, I'm like, yeah. I love it. This is awesome. Well, I'm so glad we got to talk. Thanks for hanging in there. I was trying to get some internet here in Barbados. But I'll be watching your journey. Thanks for sharing your story.
Yes, thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Bye.
I want to take a picture. I don't know if you added that. I only have like 3 minutes left.
Yeah, of course.
Your background is just like, I'm like over here in Austin, Texas. Okay, ready? I love it. Oh, so cute. Okay.
My beach hair.
I love it.
This is me. I would appreciate love
to, yeah. I was just going to say, I would love to also have you on the Grasshopper one too. Yeah. So whenever let you're back know. In the US, that would be awesome to schedule.
Yeah, let me know. I'm actually probably traveling quite a bit for a while. I'm on an Eat, Pray, Love thing right now. So yeah, I got my heart broken and trying to, crazy stuff. But I'm on a Finding Victoria Eat, Pray, Love right now. So I've been all over the place. But whenever you want, just let me know.
Yeah, no, good for you. Go do that. And that's when you're going to meet the love of your life. I swear to God, that's what I did. And then I met my boyfriend. So
yeah. I've heard that with a lot of people, so you never know. Well, I appreciate you sticking around and interviewing.
Thank you so much. All right, I'll talk to you soon.
Bye.